again tonight. I still love the Lord. And what's really important is he still loves me. And I thank the Lord that he is so gracious and kind to us all. That song we sang earlier tonight, The Love of God, kind of brought a thought to my mind. It said, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call. Reminding me of a scripture in Revelations. I kind of pick it up in mid-thought. People in a kind of a sad situation here. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. I just got to thinking, what kind of situation could you and I ever be in that would prompt us to call on mountains to fall on us? You know, people go out in the mountains and avalanches catch them every now and then, and it's termed an accident, and surely something no one wants to happen to them. What kind of situation could be so terrible in a person's life that they'd want mountains to fall on? I'm convinced that that great day of the Lord, the day that he comes to receive his bride and to judge mankind for their sins, it's going to be just such a time. That wrath, that fear, that happens to mankind at that point is going to be so devastating, so terrible, that we that are alive and hopefully go out to meet him, but those that are left are going to actually cry. Oh, mountains fall on us. That's a terrible place to be in tonight. I hope tonight that none of us here are in a place where we would rather have mountains fall on us than the very face of the Lord Jesus Christ to shine down upon us. Quite a contrast, isn't it? That's utter hopelessness when you think about it. Utter hopelessness when we would rather see a mountain, call for that mountain, fall on me, fall on me, so that he would not see me. Oh, God, help us tonight to be prepared to meet him. I want to thank the Lord tonight that he has prepared a dwelling place for us, not only in heaven, but a dwelling place on this earth. He has provided for you and me a city, and he has provided for us a habitation, and he has called you and me to be children of God, and he has called us to be part of the mountain of the Lord. Thank the Lord tonight. As I thought about the message this morning and thought about it before I came down, I had different thoughts running through my mind, and I'd like to say it this way tonight as I begin. I'd like to give us a warning to every one of us, and that warning is, I believe the Church of God and the world today, we're facing an identity crisis. And I want to warn us tonight and talk to us a little bit about the identity crisis. That you and me not fall for the subtlety of Satan. And that we do recognize that he would like nothing better than for you and me to fail to see the very high place that God has called mankind to be. That we recognize the holiness of God. That we recognize the criteria for being a part of the body of Christ. That we recognize what God is expecting out of your life and my life, and who he is coming back to redeem. A pure, holy, and a chaste bride, free from sin, unadorned by this world, but adorned with the beauty of holiness. A church that is pristine in her glory, in her beauty, in her majesty, bedecked of the jewels of the Lord. And he's coming back for that and nothing less. That you and I not be misled and fall into an identity crisis and fail to recognize who we are, who we should be, and what the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for someday. And that we be prepared to be part of that holy bride. That we recognize our responsibility to ourselves, to our soul, to our very hope of eternal life, that we be dressed and adorned in a way that the Lord could accept us, that we have fruits on display that he would accept, that the very life we live has been a life of sweet savour unto the Lord. a great challenge when I recognize that there will be those on that day calling for the rocks and the hills and the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the great wrath of an almighty God. It tells me I need to be careful. I need to be watchful. I need to be prayerful. I need to be up and about my Father's business. I need to lay myself down. I need to forsake my past. And I need to turn my eyes upon him who is coming back to redeem me and ask him, oh Lord, what would you have me do? How would you have me live? I want to know you better. I want to recognize you. I want to see you and I want to hear you. And I want to experience your love and your grace and your power. Let's be challenged tonight that we will be part of those who are ready to meet him, to be caught up to meet him if we're still alive. Oh, what a day that'll be for some. And what a terrible day that'll be for others. Think about it. You know, a lot of times we fail to recognize exclusiveness of things. Identity crisis. Sometimes we fail to recognize the blessings of being in a home. Sometimes we fail to appreciate parents. Sometimes we fail to appreciate spouses. Sometimes we fail to appreciate ministers. Sometimes we fail to appreciate the good things that are in our life and in our pathway till at some point we've let it slip away. Time and chances happen. Things have occurred, and all of a sudden that we just took for granted and didn't appreciate and didn't esteem, it's no longer with us. And then we're at a loss. And then we think, well, what happened? Where did I lose track? Where did I lose time? Why did I fail to appreciate? Why did I fail to love? Why did I fail to extend my love? Why did I fail to help? Why did I fail to be all that I could be? There's going to come a day, folks, there's going to be people saying, why didn't I do more? Why didn't I put in for the help? Why didn't I become the person God wanted me to be? Why didn't I recognize the exclusiveness of God calling me to a holy and a beautiful church? And I failed to take advantage of it. Oh, Austin, tonight, don't you be caught up in that number that's going to be sorry that you failed to take advantage and that you failed to be part of this bride. It's not going to be envy on that day. It's going to be dread and sorrow for those who failed to make it. You're not going to look at the church going up to meet the Lord in the air with envy. You're going to look with dread and terror and fear and trembling and hopelessness, and I can't describe it. It's going to be that bad, folks. Oh, God, help us. I don't want the rocks and the hills to fall on me. I don't want to cry out for that. May God help us tonight to recognize that we need to identify who God is and what he's calling us for. And make everything we can do everything we can do to make sure that we've got it all cleared up. We've got it all straight. To avoid the identity crisis. There's a scripture that we all know well in Proverbs 29 and 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now you've heard that, and I've heard that, and heard it preached on, and I've preached on it. So it's not new to us. But listen to what he said. Where there's no understanding, where there's no concept, where there's no understanding of what God is and what God expects of us, where there is no vision of the establishment that God has put in this earth, and when there is no vision of the redeeming love of Jesus Christ, when there is no vision or understanding that the Lord has called you and me to be holy and pure and clean and chaste, and to be part of that virgin bride that goes out to meet him someday. He said, where there is no understanding that there is a peculiar people, there is a people set apart, there is a people that is reserved for God alone, there is a place where God will live and dwell and work among a group of people, there is a church, there is an established body, the very body of Jesus Christ in this earth today, where we fail to vision or see in our vision, our spiritual minds, the very embodiment of Jesus Christ in his church, he said the people die. Now, that word is a little more serious to me than perish. To die means cease to exist. To die means to no longer live, no longer to breathe, for no longer for the heart to pump blood through the body, for there no longer to be waves or electronic transmissions in my brain to tell me I feel, I hurt, I love, I enjoy. To me, dying means to cease from existence and to decay and to go away. He said to you and to me, where we cease to understand that there is a church, there is a people, there is a very true body of Christ in this world today, we die. And to me, he didn't say one dies or two, but he says a very people, a nation, ceases to exist. To me, it has much more depth when I take it in what it really, to my mind, it means that he's not warning just one or two of us, but he's warning the church. He's telling us we cannot afford to lose sight of who we are, the redeemed of the Lord, men and women called out of sin and out of sectism and out of hatred and all manners of things. Such were some of you, the Bible said, and he called us out to walk in the beauty of holiness and righteousness, separate, undefiled, and our hearts made pure by the blood of the Lamb. And keep us unspotted, James said, from the world. Lord, help us not to get into an identity crisis. Satan was very subtle. The first thing we have of him that I can understand of the Bible, we have recorded of him, it said, now the serpent was more subtle. He's been that way from the beginning. He was a liar. He never abode in the truth. And he's always been against what God is. And what did he do? He came down to the woman and he said, you will not die. He hasn't quit that right today. He's still telling mankind. He's still coming and whispering on the doors and in the ears of the church. You will not die. Don't worry about your vision. You will not die. But the Bible said, if you eat the fruit of that tree, the day you do it, you will die. God said it. And then he said here, where there is no vision, the people die. The nation ceases to exist. Do you think we as the church of God are exempt from the wrath of God if we choose to lose our vision, get into an identity crisis, and fall under the subtlety of Satan and go forth and mingle our wine with the very water of this world? Listen, he spared not the very original olive, he said, the branch. And the we that were grafted in, he said, how do we think we'll escape the wrath or the judgment of God? If we lose our identity, if the wild one grafted in, oh Lord, help us tonight. As we look into his word, the people die. I don't like the idea of death. None of us do. It's foreign to the body. It's foreign to the body. People will do that, hold on to that, till they recognize, I've just got to turn loose. We hold on to life as long as we can possibly hold on to it. It's foreign to die. May God help us to, as a spiritual group of people, the church of God, to say this thing is foreign. I don't want anything to do with it. Anything that would promote death, anything that would promote me being separated from my God, anything that would cause me to have a defiled garment, I want to be separated from that thing and have nothing to do with it. Listen, saints, we are in an area today in our lives when there are a lot of subtlety going on. A lot of things are creeping around and talking to you and talking to me. We are bombarded by the media. We are bombarded by advertisements. We are bombarded by friends and neighbors and whatever you may want to think of. The subtlety of Satan is pretty bold. And it talks to us, well, what's wrong with this? And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with a little sleep? What's wrong with a little slumber? What's wrong with a little folding of the hands to sleep? What's wrong? He said, that's how your poverty comes. That's how your death comes. That's how the very weakening of your soul comes. That's how your prayers don't seem to go anywhere anymore. That's how those things that happen to you come about, because you slept a little here and you slumbered a little there. Oh, tonight, let's look closely at our identity and recognize who we are and who, if you're not saved tonight, who you can be. Who you can be. that you don't have to be a sinner, that you don't have to be estranged from the very commonwealth of Israel, but that you can be part of the church of the living God. It's only a prayer away. It's only a humbling of oneself before God. The thief on the cross, oh, Jesus, the song said, in his compassion, in his pity, he had mercy on that thief, and the thief went with him to be in paradise. Oh, listen, maybe a thief here tonight. The Lord will save your soul. There may be a liar here tonight. The Lord will save your soul. There may be an adulterer here tonight. The Lord will save your soul. And you can be part of the holy church of God, pure and undefiled and spotless, a chaste virgin, ready to go home to meet the Lord and not have to fear of having to call on the rocks and the hills and the mountains to hide you from the face of that august majesty. You think about it. Oh, wouldn't you rather be part of that bride that's caught up to meet him in the air? Wouldn't you like to know your sins are forgiven? Wouldn't you like to know that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb? Wouldn't you like to know that all the guilt is gone? All that old regret is under the blood? All those things you said, all those things you may have done, all those times you're so ashamed of, all that it all can be forgiven tonight? All that lukewarmness and all that backsliding, all those things that just kind of crept in. And, oh, I didn't want it to happen, but here it is. I've got it piled up on my hands now. Oh, wouldn't you like the idea to know that that prison you're in, that you're out of it? Wouldn't you like to know tonight that you're free to go home? Oh, even so, right now, come, Lord Jesus. Wouldn't you like to be able to say that in your heart? Oh, you might say it with your mind or your lips, but wouldn't you like to say it tonight with your heart? Wouldn't you like to know I'm part of that church? I have a vision. Jesus is coming. Oh, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Wouldn't you like to be a part of that tonight? Oh, there's a mountain among all the hills. And Jesus wants every one of us to be part of it. He's no respecter person, folks. He's no respecter person. Oh, wouldn't you like to go home to meet him tonight in peace and not have to go home tonight to that old bed and lay down and regrets and pain? Wouldn't you like to go home laughing? And I don't mean just laughing at a funny joke, but laughing in your soul because the joy of the Lord has come in and the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ has washed every old sin away. Wouldn't you like that tonight? Amen. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen. Are you facing going home to an old pillow tonight that before you go to sleep, you have to think, oh, if the Lord comes, I'm going to call for the mountains. Are you kind of dreading having to go home tonight and lay your head on a pillow and think, oh, what a terrible life I've lived. Oh, the lies I've told, the deceit I've pushed forward, the hurt I've caused. Would you like to go home tonight free of the shame and the guilt of it all? Oh, listen, folks, isn't that a wonderful thought? Why would anyone any longer remain? Oh, them old prisons people get themselves in. I didn't want to go. Brother Ed could probably tell us more, but I would venture to say you go down to Angola or go up here to McAllister in Oklahoma, and you could tell those men when you was 15, you could ask them when you were 15, did you want to go to prison? Find a 50, 60, 70-year-old man in there that's been there most of his life. Would you think you'd walk up to him and say, when you was 15, did you plan on ending up here? I got a real suspicion you'd maybe get one or two out of the whole population. Maybe tonight that old prison we talked about Sunday, maybe that old prison you had no intentions whatsoever going to. You wanted a saved home. You wanted saved children. You wanted a conscience free of guilt. Oh, you didn't want to get all cumbered up, but you ventured out and you courted just a little bit. You tempted with this and tempted with that, and you let a little of this in, you let a little of that in, and the first thing you know, you're in a prison. I didn't mean to be there. Maybe you've been there for a long time. But I want to tell you about a pardon. And you can be part of that holy city. Oh, that wonderful Zion. That mountain, that city set on a hill with the beauty and the radiance and the glory of God. Why would anybody want to remain in a place like sin? Oh, thank God tonight for salvation. Just go back a little bit and think. Wherever you are, did you mean to be there? I'm talking to saints and sinners. I'm just talking to all of us. Did you mean to be where you are? I hope we all can say, yes, indeed, I'm meant to be part of God's body, and I'm living in the fullness of his glory. And I'd like to think most of us all are can say that. But it's a good chance some of us can't. There's a good chance some of us will say, no, I didn't mean to be here. I didn't mean for my heart to be broken. I didn't mean to have this guilt. I didn't mean to have this shame. I didn't mean for my home to be broken. I didn't mean to put the example down that I did for my children. I didn't mean to smoke that. I didn't really mean for it to lead to that. I didn't really mean for that lie to just mushroom and become what it's become. And now I'm living that lie. I'm living that prison life. And I'm occupied daily with the thoughts, oh, I want out of here, but I don't know where. Oh, listen. Are you enjoying where you are tonight? You ought to be enjoying where you are tonight.
Yes.
You ought to be enjoying. If you're not enjoying, then come home to Zion. Come home to Zion. Oh, God's children are gathering there. God's children are worshiping there. God's children are living there. And God's children are enjoying it there. And if you're not enjoying where you are, and I want to say something. If you're in sin, you're not enjoying it. Now, you can argue with me, but you're not enjoying it because you dread going to hell.
That's right.
That's a fact.
Yes, that's right.
If you're in sin, you're not enjoying it because I believe everybody in here believes there's a heaven and there's a hell. And I really believe tonight if you are a sinner, you're not happy. And listen, I know where you've been. I know the facade. I know the ritual you go through because I did it myself. You know, I know all the little things you say, but I also know what terror it is to lie your head on a pillow at night and pray, or not pray, but wish and desire sleep to hurry up and come to hide you from the face of him who's looking down on your life. You're not happy. Oh, you might love your wife. You might love your children, but you're not happy. If you're in sin tonight, you're just not happy. Don't try to tell me otherwise, and you can argue with me, but I've been there, and what I want you to do is come where I am. See, taste and see, the Bible said, that in Zion, oh, he said, all my springs, all the springs are in her. What do you have need of tonight? Over in the Psalms of Solomon, it speaks about God's church, I believe, in prophecy. Let's just look at that a moment as we kind of try to move along here. In the 6th verse, chapter, and the 9th verse. Oh, it's a love story, I know, but I believe God had it put in the Bible for some reason. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. Oh, listen, Satan will come along and tell you there's a bunch of them. There's a lot of them. You know, we're all kind of gentle people, and we all kind of want to think the best about people. But listen, there's just one church. Jesus didn't come to establish 2, 3, 4. He didn't come to establish Catholicism. He didn't come to establish paganism. He didn't come to establish the sectism we have in the world today. He came to build his church upon the rock of his word and the rock of his life. He built one church, and he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If the gates of hell, the authority of hell, is prevailing against you, you're not in his church. But oh, praise God, you can be. See, you can be. If we will humble ourselves and call on him, he will hear from heaven and answer our cry, and he'll save our souls. You can go home. You can go home. You can go home, folks. Yes, you can come home to Zion anytime you're willing to. Anytime you really want to. Lay the facade down. Lay the prison bars. Just, I don't want them anymore. I want to ask you something if you're in prison tonight. Have you ever spoke to that prison and say, I don't like you? You know, that may sound a little foolish, but have you made a pact with it? Have you made a pact with unhappiness? I'll try to get along with you if you'll try to leave me alone a little bit. Have you made a pact with sin? Think about it. Have you made a pact with sorrow? Have you made a pact with greed? Have you made a pact with anything that's unholy? I know I could list a lot of things. Have you made a pact with anything that you don't feel comfortable with coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, look what I've got? I venture to say there's some of us here tonight. We knew the Lord was coming, we started doing some hiding. Listen, he already knows about it. He already knows about the prison. He already knows about the pact you've made. He's already knows about the situation you're in. He already knows about the sin. And he knows where you stand with it. Lord, help us tonight. Don't make a pact with anything that's unholy. If you're unhappy tonight, don't make a pact with it. Don't say, well, that's what I've got to settle for. If you're in a prison tonight, don't say this. Don't make a pact with it and say, well, I might as well decorate the walls the best I can. People do that, folks.
Yes.
People do that. Disclosure. Disclosure came to my mind. It's time for disclosure before me and God and you and God. Because he's the one we're going out to meet. It's time to disclose. It's time to say, this is me, Lord. My fears, my doubts, my unbelief, my misgiving. God, there's only going to be one church. There's only going to be one people. There's only going to be one resurrection of the just. There's only going to be one time, Lord, that we're going to be called to meet you. And if I miss that, Lord, I'm going to miss heaven. I want to make a disclosure to you, Lord. I've been in prison so long, it's almost become home to me. Lord, I've been here so long, I don't know how to get out. Oh, listen, they tell you that about prisoners. That's all they know. That's all they know.
Yes.
And when you let them out, bless their hearts, I feel so sorry for them, because that's all they know to do,
yes,
is go right back in.
Amen.
God has something better for you.
Yes.
If you made a pact with sin in your life, oh, listen, that's the most despicable thing there is. That's the one thing about it. The one thing that will keep you out of heaven. Your looks, your race, your nationality, your sex, your age, your wealth or lack of wealth, whether you're liked by people or not liked by people, on and on, your weight, your height, where you live, none of that has any bearing whatsoever on whether you go to heaven or not. The one thing that'll keep you out is sin. It's pretty rough, isn't it? But you know that's one of the hardest things there is to get rid of. You know, if we thought we had to be blonde-headed to go to heaven, we'd all be blonde. It's real serious, folks. There's one thing that's going to keep you out of heaven. Sin. S-I-N. To know to do good and just refuse to do it. All the prisons men get in. Listen over here in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, for a moment. 4th chapter of Ephesians. Oh, don't go looking for peace somewhere else. Maybe start at the first verse. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. That'll get some of us right there. Called to be saints. Called to be holy. Called to be free. Called to be clean. Called to be truthful. Called to be honest. Called to be holy. Listen, are you walking worthy of that tonight? Little sign I've seen, and I'm sure you have, if you were ever arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I'm sure we all heard that. What if the Lord came tonight? Would there be enough evidence in the Lamb's Book of Life? Would there be something recorded there that this is my child and I can introduce him to my father as my bride? Are you walking worthy? Are you walking worthy? I know we're not worthy in ourselves, but by the grace of God, we are worthy. And he called us to be holy and pure and not adulterers. Spiritual adulterers. And there's a lot of that going on. You know, physical adultery between people who are married to one another and then they go to someone else. adultery. That happens through subtle ways. That happens through temptations. That happens by letting down of a standard. That happens by letting go of their affections for the one they promised their love to. And the first thing you know, they're in their arms, someone else, and it's adultery. Spiritual adultery. We are called to be holy, a peculiar people, a people set apart, a people to be aside for the Lord's use, sanctified and holy and meet for the Master's use. Spiritual adultery. Tempted by Satan. Allured by Satan. Courted by Satan. And we yield to Satan. The first thing you know, we start questioning. Is that doctrine really right? Listen, there's questioning going on. If you're questioning tonight, you ought to come to the altar and ask God to help you with your questions. See, there's ways to question. We can question, I don't believe it. Prove it to me. God's not in that business. He's too big to be intimidated by you. But you come to him and say, God, I want to go to heaven more than anything else. And I don't understand this. Please, God, open up my understanding. That's the questioning God can deal with. Don't you think you can intimidate God and argue him out of something? Oh, listen, he's too big for you. He's too big for me. The only hope we have is to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of the Lord. Fall on our knees and call holy, holy, holy. And ask him to save us and redeem us and take us to heaven by his grace and by his mercy. That's our hope, folks. It's not in saying, well, Lord, I just don't see it this way. You're going to have to prove it to me. He doesn't have to prove anything. He proved it on Calvary. It's up to you to accept the gift, folks. It's up to me to accept the gift. He established his church. It's up to me to be a part of it. It's not up to him to prove it any longer. But by the foolishness of preaching, he said he had saved some. So we exhort and we teach and we preach and we plead and we warn. But oh God, help us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of the Lord. Are you walking worthy tonight? This is a revival. Saints are here. Probably some sinners are here. Some prisoners are here. And some free people are here. A revival. Let's challenge ourselves. God, help us right here. Are we walking worthy of our vocation? Called to be holy. Called to have clear minds. Oh, called to have pure thoughts. Call to keep ourselves chaste to the one we promised our love to. Call to be good fathers and good mothers. Call to be an example of the believer. Call to be what God wants us to be in every walk of life. Call to take our old sinful rags and cast them away and put on the garments of holiness and of praise. Call to be children of the light, to walk as children of the light. Or is there? Are you, am I walking worthy tonight of the vocation? Challenge yourself. Let God challenge you. That's a lot better than having to cry out, mountains fall on me and hide me from the August majesty. He has come and his wrath is being poured out. Oh, mountains fall on me and hide me from those blazing eyes of fire. I'd much rather say, Lord, I'm unworthy and I hadn't been walking right. And I'm in prison, or I'm in doubt, I'm in fear, I'm sinful, Lord, I've been unfaithful to you, my vows to you I have broken, I am backslidden, Lord, I am lukewarm and I am cold. Oh God, that's, dear ones, that's so much better to say that than to say, oh, mountains fall on me and hide me from his face. Which would you rather do? Disclosure is hard to do. I don't minimize it, but it's the only thing to do. You got to come clean with the Lord. Doesn't always have to be right here, but it's got to be somewhere where you humble yourself. It's a good place to start, because you know why it's good to come to an altar? Because you're making a public profession. I want help. And there's other people that'll agree with you in prayer. And it gives old Satan something, it gives you something to point old Satan back to. You can't embarrass me any longer, devil. I've already humbled myself before God's people, but more importantly, before my God. And he heard my prayer. Satan, you're a liar. It wasn't near as bad. It was wonderful, as a matter of fact. And all this life that I now live, oh, I can live it by the faith of the Son of God. He loved me and gave himself for me. You can have that testimony, folks. Disclosure. 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 Are you willing to make a disclosure tonight? Not to me, not to Brother Ed, but to God. Are you willing to say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner? Lord, would you have mercy on me? I've decorated this old prison wall till it's become home. I have taken care of my hurts and my pain and my misgivings, and I have taken care of myself so well, Lord, I've even got an easy chair in this prison. I've made a liaison between me and Satan and this old prison. It looks halfway decent. Oh, God, help us. You're so far short. I'd be so far short tonight if we settled for that. He said to you and me, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of love. He said, there is one body. Make no mistake about this, folks. Church, listen to this. Satan's trying to get you to think right tonight. The other way's not so bad. Good people over there. Granted, there may be some good people over there. But the Lord said there's one body. Yeah. We're not going to get away from that, folks. Sectism's out there. All this other stuff's out there. But there's still just one body. And I want to say this in the fear of the Lord. You start getting around sectism, they'll court you. And I'm going to tell you what, they'll put their best foot forward. But they won't show you the death at the end of it. Where there is no vision, people die. Where people lose sight of the church of God, they die. Where people lose sight of holiness, they die. Where people lose sight of unity, they die. When people lose sight of freedom, they die. When people settle for less than what God established, they die. When we begin to settle for all the filth and all the pollution, and when we settle for the lies that Satan says, this is your lot, you got to stay in it, we start to die. Maybe somebody's dying here tonight. Maybe someone's dead. Oh, but listen, you can be resurrected too. You can be brought back, brought back. You can come home to Zion. You know the Lord's so good to us. You know the story of the prodigal son, we call him the wasteful son. The son who was the spendthrift, the wasteful son, the prodigal son. He spent all that he had, spent everything he had. Wonderful inheritance, and he just blew it. Maybe you've blown it tonight. Maybe you was raised in this truth, and you blew it. Maybe you were saved, and you blew it. Maybe you had the inheritance of the Father handed to you, and you took it, and you let it run through your fingers like sand, and you lost it. You spent it on living that wasn't the way to go. You found yourself in the hog pen. That's where the young man found himself. He was real humble about it. He said, well, I can envision him thinking, I can't go back. I mean, look at me. Stink. I stink. I smell like a pig. Maybe you think you smell like a pig tonight. But I want to tell you what happened. I want to tell you what happened. When the boy was a long way off, I love the story. When the boy was a long way off, listen, when you're a long way off, he's looking for you, saints. He's looking for you, sinner. He's looking for you, wanderer. He's looking for you, child. He's looking way off out there. Is there any sign of this one I love? Oh, listen, he left the 99, the parable said, and he went after the one. God help us to see his arms opened wide tonight. One body, and he wants you in it. One body, and he wants you a part of it. One body, and he's not happy if you're separated. One body that's free, and he's not happy if you're in a prison. He's not happy if you're separated from the ones you love. He's not happy if you've entangled yourself with this old world. He's not happy if you've gone down into the pig pen. He's not happy to listen when the little children come in and they don't smell good. What do? With them? We give them a bath.
Yes.
He'll give you a bath tonight. Isn't that a wonderful thought?
Yes, thank the Lord.
He'll give you a bath. You can be free. You can go get that robe of righteousness on you. Then you can go snuggle up under his arms of love. He'll tell you how he loves you. Give you a good night kiss. You can just go lay down in that bed of love and sleep secure. Children love security. Folks, you can be as poor as they come. But if those children know you love them, that you're putting forth their best, they can sleep good at night. Listen, security is what we want. It's what you want. It's what I want. I want to be secure. Don't you? Sure you do. Sure you do. You get a leak in your roof. You don't like that. Nothing more nerve-wracking than a leaking roof. Oh, listen, there's a leak in your roof tonight. You're insecure if it is. You're unhappy if you are. You're sad if you are. You're not happy. You're miserable. You wish you were somewhere else. You can be. You can be part of that one body. You can be free tonight. God help us. Oh, it's going to mean something to not have to say, rocks fall on me, fall on me, fall on me. Jesus said there's one body. Are you part of that one body tonight? Pure, holy, and clean, and chaste? Why wouldn't anyone want to be that way? Isaiah talks a little bit here. Isaiah, the second chapter. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Well, what's the last days? Hebrews writes about in these last days that's spoken to us by his son, whom he made heir of all things, Jesus, in other words. So, could that be the last days? I don't know anywhere in the word it talks about another time to come. The last days are upon us. Your last days are upon you. Your last days. This is your life. You know, that's it. You're not going to get another one. This is it. You're not going to be another, reincarnation. No, not going to be any of that. You're not going to be, if you're 40 tonight, you'll never be 40 again. If you're a parent tonight, you'll never have another opportunity that you have right now. If you're a husband or if you're a wife, this is your opportunity. You lose that one, you separate from that one, there's not going to be another time for you to enjoy the bliss of that. This is your time. This is your time to be called a saint. You can't wait till the next life. You can't wait till you're 90 years old and die and then all of a sudden become a saint. This is your opportunity to be called. This is your last days, folks. Have you ever thought about it? Whatever you're going to do, I talked a little bit yesterday evening and last night about the dash. This is your dash. What are you doing with it? This is the time you got from the 1945s, I say when I was born, till the 1997. This is my dash. I hope it gets a little longer, but it may not. This is my dash. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? In the last days, listen to what's going to happen. And this is a good story. You can be part of this. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the hill, mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it, and many people shall go and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and listen to this, and he will teach us. Didn't we say at the beginning of the little meeting here that we're going to try to introduce you to Jesus, but it's up to you to get acquainted with him? I can tell you about him. We can preach about him. We can sing about him. We can tell you of his glorious ways. We can tell you of heaven. We can warn you of hell. We can do all these things. But it's up to you, folks, to get acquainted. I can tell you about being free. I can tell you about the consequences of prisons. I can tell you the consequences of sin. But it's going to be up to you to say, I don't want it anymore. It's going to be up to you. I can... Brother Ed, Brother Michael, Sister Karen, different ones, we could preach and teach it, but it's going to be up to you. It's going to be up to you. We're going to have to make that decision. I would tonight we all make that decision.
Yes.
Saints here too, that we make that decision. I'm going by the grace of God to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith I'm called.
Yes.
See, if you're a sinner, you're called to be holy.
Yes.
Listen to what he said. We're going to go up to this mountain, this one true church, this church that's built on the rock, this church that Christ is going to establish, the church that the gates of hell are not going to, and I'm not talking, I hope we understand the church is the body of the believers, it's the saved, it's the redeemed, it's the people who've been called out who constitute the body of Christ. It's not this congregation, it's not this building, it's the very body of Jesus Christ, the visible body of Jesus right here in the earth today. It is the experience of being saved and delivered from sin and walking holy before God. That's the church of God. It's not this building. It's not just me or just one or two, but it is the called out. Remember that. It's the called out. And he's calling you out. He's calling you out. He's calling you out. Calling you out of fear. He's calling you out of sin. He's calling you out of shame. He's calling you out of guilt. He's calling you out of bitterness. He's calling you out of sectism. He's calling you out from wandering among the little hills and the valleys down there. He's calling you to the high and glorious mountain of God, the church of the living God. That's what he's calling you to tonight. And he said they're going to flow into it. I like that. I ain't got to push Brother Ed out of the way. I ain't got to. Sister Gladys can't walk as fast as me. I ain't got to try to get ahead of her.
No.
Oh, praise God. We're just going to flow together. One body.
Thank God.
Don't you want to be? Listen, in this old world, if you're sinning, you're contending. If you're a sinner, you are contending. People in prison contend. You know that? They contend for that cigarette. They contend for what TV channel is going to be turned on. They contend for the library privileges. They contend for a new bunk. It's a contending, a striving, a pushing, a shoving, a my way. Get out of my way. I want my way. Church of God is not that way. If your marriage tonight is in the church of God, you and your spouse are flowing together. But if you're contending in your marriage tonight, that's not what God had in mind. Something's wrong. And it's probably on both sides of the aisle. That marital aisle I'm talking about. Listen, there's no contending here. It's a flowing. It's a flowing. It's not me pushing Brother Harold out of the way. I love Brother Harold. We're going to heaven together. Flow together, see? Listen, if there's contention in your hearts against the brethren, that's not God doing that. I promise you that. If you can't walk together, it's not God's fault. It's probably yours. You see, you think, well, he did this, she did. Oh, listen, don't tell me that. I know about the blood of Jesus. I know about the blood of Jesus. Don't tell me how bad you were treated. I know about the blood of Jesus. Listen, husband, you're angry at your wife. Don't come telling me all the things she did wrong. I know about the blood of Jesus. Oh, wise, if you can't get along with him, if he's ornery and a cantankerous fella, don't tell me about that. I know about Jesus and his blood. And I know how when he was reviled, he reviled not again. I know when he said, if someone asked to borrow something from you, give it to him and a little extra too. And we get so stingy at times. We get so greedy with what's ours at times. But I know about the blood. I can't sympathize with it, even when it camps at my doorsteps. Because, see, I'm human too. But I can't sympathize with it because I know about the blood of Jesus. So don't look for an excuse at the throne of grace. Disclosure, folks. Disclosure. Disclosure. You want a happy life? Disclosure. Put it all down. Don't try to pick any of it up. Don't come and say, Lord, but. Say, no, Lord, it's me. People say, but Lord, no. It's me, Lord. I could have been better. I should have been better. And I'm not, I'm a worm, Lord. I tell the Lord a lot of times I'm a worm. And I believe it. Oh, God, help us. One body. And they shall flow into it. Oh, and he'll teach us. I love this. Are we willing to be teachable? I'm afraid there's somebody here tonight that's not teachable.
Lord, help us.
You know that? Because you see, if you got a problem, and if you're in prison, if you got this sin in your life, I have to conclude you're not teachable. But you can be. And I want to urge you tonight. The Lord has promised to teach us His ways. You see, I'm introducing you to your help. Now it's up to you to get acquainted. It's up to you to pay the price. See, I can't pray for you in the sense of repenting for you. I can't pray for you in confessing the prison. I can't pray for you and tell the Lord how sorry you are. Can't do that. You've got to do that. You're the one that's got to change. You're the one that's in trouble if you're in trouble. You're the one that's not walking worthy of the vocation. You're the one that you've got to say, Lord, it's me. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's me. But aren't we so human, folks? Don't we want to make an excuse, an excuse, an excuse? You talk to prisoners, and they'll blame it on somebody else 9 out of 10 times. Society this, society this, mama this, mama that, daddy this, daddy that. All those school I went to, the principal over here, all that big General Motors Corporation. You don't like to blame it on anybody, but kind of like what I talked about last night. They imagine all kind of things, but when you look down where your feet are, it's where you are. God help us. You can blame it on everybody you want to, but your unhappiness eventually comes back to your doorsteps.
Right.
You are unhappy because you have chosen. You have chosen. And I speak from experience. I speak from experience. Because I know what unhappiness is, and you do. None of us are exempt from it. But I'm not going, by the grace of God, I won't linger there. I'm not going to put pictures on the wall. I'm on my way out. And sometimes we put pictures on the wall and say, what can I do to make this place more comfortable? We get our golf games. We get our fishing boats. And I don't have anything wrong with fishing boats. But we put them ahead of getting out of our situation. We run, folks. We run. May I be personal a minute? In my present condition of life, sundown is a rough time. When the sun starts going down, I start getting blue. And I know there's other widows or widowers here. Probably don't know what I'm talking about. When the sun starts going down, I start getting blue. Brother Tony and I was talking here a week or so ago when I was at the house. And I was relating to him. My house faces the west, so I get a good view of the sun going down. And I'm so glad. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm glad to see the sun setting a little later right now. I'm human, folks. I'm not trying to tell you I'm above everything in this world. Only by the grace of God. So I'm kind of glad to see the sun go down at 6:30 instead of 5. Boy, when it was going down at 5, it was rough. But I stepped there and I looked at it. I looked at it. By the grace of God, sundown, you're not going to whip me. And I don't boast. Please, I don't boast. I don't boast. God forbid. I told Brother Sam and Tony about this. We was talking. And I forgot which one of us mentioned that. This is this way. But one of us made the remark, running from the sundown. And that stuck in my mind. You know what? And you call your sundown anything you want it to be. Some of us are just running from the sundown. We got a problem and we're running from it. See, my problem is the sundown. And it would be so easy to get in the car and go riding. It'd be so easy to go get one day there right after my wife died. Please forgive me for being on this. I don't like to talk about personal things, but I hope it's a point. One day there, about a week or so, 2 weeks after she died, about 8 o'clock at night, and I was as blue as I could be. Forgive me for this. I don't like to do this. But anyway, I thought, well, I'll just go get in bed. And I'll cover up my head and go to sleep. And I thought, well, that's one of the clinical signs of depression. And I said, I don't want that. I said, God, have mercy on me. And I did. I asked God to have mercy on me. I made myself, by the grace of God, stay up. Stay up. Because I didn't want to say, bed, you're my security. You're where I find peace. You're where I find rest. My strength cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And by his grace, he will sustain me and he will sustain you. And he will deliver us out of the prison. He'll deliver us out of the fear. He'll take away the old sin and he'll make a new creature out of us. And he'll give us a new life. He'll give us his holiness and his righteousness. And he'll bring us into that body. And we can all flow together to the gates of heaven. And we can hear him say, well done. Oh, you fought a good fight. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Oh, you were a sinner, but now you're a saint. Come on home, children. I'd much rather hear that than say, well, you went and hid in the bed and you lost your soul. Now, folks, you may think the preacher couldn't lose his soul by going to bed at 8 o'clock because he is depressed. The preacher can lose his soul because he went to bed at 8 o'clock because he was depressed. Because you know what happens? That lets Satan say, I got you. You did exactly what I wanted you to do. And now it makes it a little easier for him to... What's the use of getting up so early for? What's the use of getting up and reading the Bible? You know, what's the use of praying? You know? Folks, when we concede, we lose. We lose. If you concede to where you are, you're a loser. Now, I'm not saying you're lost right now, but you will lose. And you're losing. If you've conceded to sin, you've lost. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion, not out of sectism, not out of the Catholic Church, not out of Buddhism, not out of the secular world, not out of the philosophies on the radio, not out of the help, the self-help ads, not out of the lovelorn columns, but out of Zion, out of the holy city of God, shall go forth the law and the word of God from the very Zion of God, the church of the living God, Jerusalem. That's where it's going to come from. Now, if I set my membership anywhere else besides God's holy city, I lose. I lose. Yes. Because there's going to come a day when the rocks and the hills are going to look so beautiful to me, I'm going to say, please fall on me and hide me from his face. Oh, tonight, God have mercy on us all. Yes. Paul said, I bring my body under subjection, lest after I preach to others, I myself be a castaway. I'm not home yet, folks. I'm not home yet. But by the grace of God, I'm going to be there. I'm going to lay this body down. And I just believe by the grace of God, it's going to rise again to meet him in the air. I believe it. But I'm not home yet. I'm not home yet. You pray for me. If you're not saved tonight, come on home. Come on home. If you're in prison tonight, break out. Break out. If your home's in disrepair, come on back up here to the mending station. Be made new, to be made fresh, to be made whole. If you're unhappy tonight, and if you've been there for quite a little while, and you just think this is my lot, come on home. Come on home. Oh, Jesus has been looking for you a long time. He's been looking out there and saying, when is he going to come on? Could this be the night my daughter's coming in? Oh, I've got the robes ready, the rings ready. I've got the fatted calf ready. I wonder if tonight's the night they're going to yield. I wonder if tonight's the night they're going to just say, that's the end. I refuse.